Hello and welcome to Freed from the Reel episode 12, brought to you by www.mtgotraders.com and www.puremtgo.com. This week it is Eric Freiburg, the co-host, with
Sebastian Park, back from a long week.
And we're here to bring you all the Magic Online news and information that's been happening over the past week. So we'll first start off with Magic Online news, then we'll move into Magic Online events, cover some Magic Online prices, and cover some pure MTGO news along the way. So first up, we have an in-person usability testing for Magic Online coming up pretty soon in San Diego area. And it's actually going to be physically there. You'll have to show up to the physical place and actually use the user interface when it looks like they'll actually be recording what you do. And that seems pretty interesting. It's about time to get some bigger, better changes to the Magic Online interface. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. Any thoughts about that, Sebastian?
For the listeners who don't really know what's going on, could you go into more detail, Eric?
Oh, absolutely. The Magic Online V3, when it came out, there was a lot of complaints about the user interface. It was really, really bad. It was almost impossible to read. One of the major complaints about Magic Online V3 was, in fact, just how bad it was to use as a user. So what they're looking at doing is doing some sort of new, very large user interface change. And we don't know exactly what it'll be. That's kind of what a lot of us are interested in finding out about here in the upcoming usability survey, is what they're going to do, how big the changes will be, all that type of stuff. So definitely looking forward to seeing any type of information about that.
Oh, all right. So basically they're having a live show in San Diego?
It looks like that's what they're going for. So if that's the case, there's going to be a very interesting little bit of information as soon as that comes out public. They haven't said when exactly, but I guess they're doing it via a third-party firm that actually, you know, does these types of research projects professionally. So very interesting to see what will happen with that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if it's in the San Diego area, I would highly recommend anyone in the Los Angeles or anyone in California, basically, to go down and, you know, give it a try. Definitely put you in your feedback. I definitely know that there's, you know, companies such as Blizzard and other online companies, especially, you know, ones that create games and whatnot, definitely enjoy people giving their feedback. And so it's, you know, fairly nice that Wizards is taking this approach as well.
Absolutely. I think it's actually a very normal thing to be doing, and a lot of larger companies do it. I think eBay did it with one of their recent changes. So I could see them using something like that. I guess from the sound of it, if you wear glasses, they're not going to allow you to take it, mostly because they need to track your actual eye movements, which is a really interesting sign, because it seems like they'll be actually focusing more on real usability as opposed to what people seem to think would be good for the Magic Online game. It looks really interesting, and very good sign for anyone who knows a lot about the user interface design group. So I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully we can get some details from them pretty fast about exactly what will be happening there. But look for a lot of people being happy about that.
Yeah, definitely. I'm definitely up for, you know, going down there if anyone else is.
Yeah. There's actually a site to check out. It'll be in our show notes. And it will tell you how to get a hold of the company in charge of that. And they will verify if you're available to be taking part in the survey.
For sure.
All right. Also, we have, moving on to some different topics, there is emergency ban Helm of Obedience. And what ended up happening is it was broken with Helm of Obedience. And if you started to mill out like with a library with Progenitus with a Leyline of the Void in play, it was actually not really working how it's supposed to work. So what ended up happening is it would actually crash the game and quite possibly the entire tournament that the game was taking place in, due to the unfortunate side effect of, you know, hanging the game state forever in an infinite loop. So they decided to pull out that combo, Helm of Obedience, from the next Classic tournaments until they can get that fixed. What ends up happening is it should repeat until it uses up the active player's clock, which they would then lose the game. So they'd either concede, which is what should happen, or it would just use up all their clock. Since it's a Mei ability, what was happening is it would never get to the Mei ability, and it would just try to infinitely go through all the steps, which obviously we didn't work out too well. So they're banning that for the time being until they get that to be fixed.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, there's definitely a lot of people who use Progenitus nowadays in their Threshold decks as part of a natural order type of combo, you know, bring him out, try to win the game right away type of effect that, you know, first came up in the last Legacy GP, and as a result, we now have, you know, have seen signs on Magic Online. You know, if you guys check the most recent Classic article on Pure MTGO, and I'll bring it up later, they also mentioned Helmline, which is the name of the deck, which uses Helm of Obedience and Leyline of the Void as a very viable deck. So, you know, definitely it's a deck that is pretty cool on the surface. It's just a shame it, you know, destroys the server.
Yeah, that's always a shame. It's a big deal, and it's Progenitus is even being run in, you know, sideboards just as a way to, you know, stop being milled to death, because of multiple milling strategies which it stops in its tracks. Of course, that's obviously not going to work very well when it's crashing the whole system. So, and that brings us to our avatar art update for the Alara Reborn build. We've been seeing some of the new art, and it's quite a bit better than the previous 3D art, which was, to be blunt, quite bad. I'm glad that we're getting some art that doesn't look like, you know, hermaphrodite midgets. That's definitely a good start. And it stops me from feeling like I'm embarrassed for the state of the client, and now it's more of a, hey, this is actually kind of neat. Some of it's a bit overdone in regards to the female, you know, art, but you're aiming at the, you know, 22 to 34 male crowd, so go figure that they've gone a little bit overboard. What do you think of the new avatar art that we've seen so far?
You know, honestly, the biggest thing for me was that my avatar, which is Cheshiro the Anointed, was redone, and you know, that made me happy. He looks really badass now. And
as he should. I mean, you know, a lot of these characters are, you know, these giant beings in this Magic game, and then you see them in their 3D art form, and they're just, you know, badly rendered, blocky, silly looking, and it just doesn't do them justice. And definitely, Cheshiro is one of those.
Yeah, I definitely agree that some of the female art is a little bit overdone per se. I mean, I understand the target audience, but like some of this is, you know, taking away from the art style itself.
And I definitely understand what they're going for with the changes and who their target audience is, so I'm not really all that surprised. It is just kind of overdone to the point of being absurd in some cases, and I can understand where some people would be kind of frustrated by that. Definitely isn't for everyone anymore. So, but it, you know, regardless of what you personally think about it, it just looks so much better than it used to. So even alone with that, I think it's worth the change.
I definitely agree.
And that brings us to the MTGO events, which will be kicked off by Sebastian, the MTGO events player.
Right. So first and foremost, for all of you people out there, is that this Wednesday, which is approximately the time you'll be hearing this podcast. So by the time you hear this podcast, it's probably too late for you. But it's the end of Season 1 of Magic Online Championship Series. And unfortunately, I couldn't qualify. How'd you do, Eric?
Not even close. I've realized I need a lot more practice, and probably to diversify what I'm trying, but I'm still going to try for Season 2.
Right, for sure. I mean, I'm just going to start right now by saying that there's a very interesting article of a person who, you know, they did 50 drafts in order to get his 15 qualifier points, and it's on puremtgo.com. Definitely check it out, his articles. Well, you know, I'm just going to say, hint, hint, that's my favorite article this week. So definitely look out for, you know, people to diversify as they realize it's pretty impossible to get all your points from one format.
Yes, that's something I definitely learned in my travels throughout the tournament season of Season 1, is that I need to do quite a bit more in different formats. Probably I'll do some sealed when Reborn comes out. Probably start looking at maybe Classic as well, but who knows exactly what I'll end up doing.
Yeah, I definitely agree that it's necessary to diversify your events in order to get the necessary qualifier points in order to qualify. So along with the Magic Championship Series going from Season 1 to Season 2, we also had the release of the promo cards for the next month or so. So basically, every month there are promo cards that are given to people who participate in the appropriate daily events. And so up until April 29th, which is this Wednesday, we have Force Spike, Firebolt, and a Texas Disenchant for people playing Extended Classic, the Classic events and Extended events for Force Spike, Alara Block, 10th Edition for Firebolt, and everything else for Texas Disenchant. However, now that we're entering May soon, the next set of promo cards are Gerard's Verdict for Extended Classic Tempest Stronghold Steel Daily Events, which, by the way, is an amazing card. But what's even more amazing is the Mog Fanatic promo that's given to Alara Block, 10th Edition Steel Daily Events. And equally as awesome, but I don't think as awesome as Mog Fanatic, is the standard Alara Conflux Sealed, Shadowmoor Eventide Sealed, Lorwyn Morningtide Sealed events. Well, that's a mouthful. Texas Mana Leagues are given out. So there's a lot of things going on. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to the Mog Fanatics, being as I'm into the whole Lara Born setup right now, and those are going to be awesome going forward. I'm not too sure about Gerard's Verdict or the Mana Leak, being as they're just outclassed even in their own formats, so I'm not exactly sure if I would be too excited about them, but they're still going to be definitely sought after, and there's a lot of really good promos that have been released since they started this whole promo program, which has been really awesome and has definitely driven up constructed attendance as well.
Yeah, I mean, my biggest problem with the promo available for Mog Fanatic, and have you seen the promo, Eric?
No, I haven't, actually. I just need to take a look at that.
Well, all right. So, I mean, I'm not exactly sure what kind of promo they're doing for Mog Fanatic. I mean, I can take a guess, and that's the problem. The guess I have for the Mog Fanatic art is the Mog Fanatic that is drawn by Nils Ham, and it was a Mog Fanatic given out, and I saw it when I was at the Grand Prix. And that's a rather ugly Mog Fanatic, to be quite honest with you. So, I mean, I don't plan on, you know, getting one, but I'm definitely sure it's, you know, a worthy creature to get.
Yeah, that's probably the only reason to get it will be, you know, future scarcity. It's definitely all I'm expecting to see from it. So, yeah, we'll see what ends up happening. But I'm definitely liking the look of my fire bolts that I got from the April events, and very happy to have those in my collection.
Yeah, definitely agree with that sentiment. So, all right, guys, as we touched upon earlier in the show, we do have our Season 1 championship occurring this Sunday at 9 a.m. Pacific Daylight Savings Time. It's on the 3rd of May. And on the Saturday before that, for those of you who are qualified, we also have the Stronghold Championships on the 2nd of May. So definitely look forward to that. Especially if you're qualified for the Season 1 Championships, I highly recommend you go, considering that the events come complete with a foil Texas Cryptic Command. I just got one in the mail, and I think it looks awesome. So, yeah.
Well, it's definitely going to be awesome. And that brings us to the MTGO prices, which cover up quite a bit of new information. We have Sanity Grinding, which has gone up to 8 in the past couple days, because it has been used in a new combo or milling deck that's been pretty much beating up on a lot of the more powerful 5-color control decks, which is definitely a strong deck to be taking out. Let's see what else.
I mean,
we have
to clarify about the milling deck. The milling deck's been around for a really long time. It uses Sanity Grinding with a lot of other milling cards, but namely Twin Cast, in order to, you know, you cast Sanity Grinding, which, if you don't know, is a card from, I believe it's either Eventide or, yeah, I think it's Eventide. Yes, it is Eventide. So Sanity Grinding is a triple blue mana costed card from Eventide. And basically what it basically reads is that it uses one of the mechanics in Eventide, which is Chroma, which is reveal the top, it's, you know, mana related. And you reveal the top 10 cards of your library, and your opponent reveals and puts that many cards equal to the number of blue mana symbols you have in the mana cost of reveal cards into his or her library. And then you put all the cards on the bottom. Now, if you combine this sorcery with Twin Task, which makes another copy of it, and have a deck geared with blue mana symbols to mill personnel, you can easily get about 20 cards with one Sanity Grinding, which makes it 40 cards with two Sanity Grindings, which doesn't give a person a lot of room since they're drawing 7 for their hand, playing multiple turns, and whatnot. So it's definitely an interesting card, I have to say.
Yeah, and it's kind of a metagame choice right now because there's so much that it can really devastate with that. So I think that's you'll probably see it spike up for a while and then drop back down. It's one of those cards that people have been trying to break for quite a while. There's been numerous threads on the Magic message boards. There's been articles about it. Just a lot of people trying to break it. It looks like it's finally found a place where it can actually get in there and do some damage.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's also affecting other prices, as you know, Eric, like such as Cryptic Command's backup.
Yes, which obviously, you know, Fairies loves it, Wizards and Extended loves it, and Sanity Grinding loves it.
Everyone loves it, apparently. I love it, especially in foil.
Oh, yeah. The foil special Cryptic Commands that we're going to be getting from the Season 1 Championships is just going to be ridiculously expensive.
It's going to be cool.
Oh, yeah. But very, very insanely priced. So if you happen to top 8 in that, hold on to that for dear life, because that will be worth so much money. Then we also have a Johnny Vengeant. He actually dropped down just a little bit. Not a whole lot, but just enough to, you know, to make the list. He was at 1975 a pop, and now he is down to 19.5, which is obviously not a huge change, but it's definitely a little bit different. And I think he's kind of starting to realize that you might not need all four that some decks are running. Kind of an important distinction.
Yeah, definitely an important distinction considering what it entails. So,
yeah, he's very good. Obviously, fantastic card, but not always the best. You don't want more than one. Sometimes you get hit pretty hard because of an Oblivion Ring. You know, bringing an extra one back into play, that definitely hurts. I've seen that happen in quite a few games. Playing 5-color control, you'll have one under an Oblivion Ring, they play another one, you bounce your Oblivion Ring back to hand, and you take out two of theirs. Definitely hurts. So that's something that's been biting some players, I'm sure, so I can see how those would drop just a little bit. They may go back up, they may stay low. If I had to guess, they'll probably bounce back up once we start moving more towards standard and people realize how strong they are.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely depends on what decks become more popular. Johnny Vengeance definitely been an answer for red-white Boat Brew and Standard to deal with the menace that is 5-color control. Since, you know, when you have creatures that don't attack and you have a Planeswalker that destroys all your lands in 4 turns, you might want to figure out a way to kill it, which is always a good thing to force a control player to figure out a way to not die.
Right, especially when you're looking at something so, you know, it comes down turn 4 and it just starts to really mess with it. Holds down their tap lands that come into play tapped, and he does a lot of damage. He's really scary. I know playing 5-color control and block, he's like one of the worst cards to see across the board because, you know, you just lost a whole extra turn, which is just obviously very, very bad for you as a control deck. So, yeah, look for him to keep going up and up and up because he is insane.
Agreed.
All right, next up is Mutavault. That shifted around to 1750, went up a little bit, mostly because it just keeps being used in all sorts of different formats, even Classic. I know it was at first derided in Classic for not being good enough, not being as good as...
Misha's Factory.
Yeah, Misha's Factory. And obviously it's not that good, but once you start getting things like fairies or wizards decks coming in, and you know, the blue millfolk can use them as well. I mean, it's just insane.
Definitely agree with that sentiment. I mean, the merfolk decks, any deck that runs tribal, which is like goblins, merfolk, fairies, so a lot of different decks that run tribal benefit from having that kind of creature type in play. I know my elves decks runs four of them, both in real life and on Magic Online. I'm really glad I picked them up like all those years ago. And this is another reason why you shouldn't sell cards. Just, you know, I understand, you know, people make a living off of selling cards, and people like selling cards prior to sets coming out. But honestly, some cards get really good when you least expect it to. Case in point, Tarmogoyf became a lot better about 2 weeks after release events.
Yeah, that was, I think some people saw that it was going to be insane, and some people, oh, hey, yeah, I guess that is really insane. So, yeah, Tarmogoyf, you've seen quite a few cards do that over, you know, over our time playing Magic Online. So to the point where you really can't discount a card if it has a powerful effect, you just got to, you know, give it a shot and see maybe, yeah, keep a close eye on it.
Definitely agree.
All right, what else we have this week is Meddling Mage. That tanked pretty hard right off the bat, mostly because it was, first it was not necessarily guaranteed to be in the next set, but now it is, and it has tanked down to 1782. It stayed at that price from last week, but that has done a lot of damage when it fell, because that's definitely a lot lower than it used to be.
Yeah, I think it peaked at around 80 tickets.
Yeah, it was really high priced, about 80 tickets, and now it is far, far lower than that because, well, you know, it's just not going to be as important to have that old version.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
So that's definitely one of the biggest drops. And something that we were talking about earlier was Vindicate. I'm guessing that will eventually start to slide down as well, simply because you just don't need it nearly as much as you used to. It's even in Classic, doesn't see much play, and now there's a relatively easy replacement for it, which you got to kind of think that maybe, just maybe, it won't be necessarily worth paying the $31 a piece for them. So I have to imagine that we will see that drop as well. Any thoughts about that?
Yeah, I mean, definitely Vindicate basically was a powerhouse in Extended last year. Unfortunately, it's not so much a powerhouse in Legacy or Vintage or Classic or any other format. So if you combine those two together, you would understand why, you know, we're not going to see much play from it anymore. And as Eric mentioned, we do have a replacement in the one black green awesome Vindicate / Echoing Cycle type card, which name I'm sure Eric will remind me.
That'd be Maelstrom Pulse.
Yeah, Maelstrom Pulse. If you want to send any to my address, I definitely need them for my Elves deck for regionals. Just hint, hint. But yeah, I mean, with that card available for the the casual player to pick up, although I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to be very expensive for an extended period of time. But once it becomes, you know, less expensive and the casual player can pick it up, it's, you know, Vindicate's just not going to see as much play. Sure, you can't destroy lands with it, but casual players usually aren't interested in destroying lands to begin with. So definitely look for that card to, you know, come up in value.
Exactly. Definitely something I would expect to see as well. And that wraps up the MTGO prices and brings us to the pure MTGO news of the week. We have a WotC-sponsored Kaleidoscope deck building contest being run currently, and it will be... It'll be a program for submitting decks to an email address that will be in the article in our show notes. And you can submit two different decks, the budget or the not budget. Budget is limited to 4 rares total and no rare lands. And obviously the non-budget has no budget restrictions whatsoever. So reflecting pools, Figures of Destiny, all those type of powerful, really expensive rares that you would love to play with. You can submit those in your non-budget deck. Also for legality, anything that has been the highest rarity of it, which means if it was a rare at the latest reprint, you cannot submit it as a not rare in the budget one. So if, let's say, it was a common and now it's a rare, you can't submit it as a common. The difference is the myth, not the mythic rares, but the Time Spiral reprinted ones, those are allowed to be their not rare counterparts. So if it's a common and is a purple card, it counts as a common.
So yeah, Squires aren't rares for all of you guys who are wondering out there.
True, but they're sadly restricted because, or banned because they're not multicolor. That's a shame. It's just a shame. And other than that, we have ways to contact us. Actually, we should probably skip to favorite article of the week instead of how to contact us.
Well, I mean, I suppose it's worth bringing this up. We have our good buddy Michael Jansen. I think that's how you pronounce his last name. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, so Jamura, as you guys know him, who's constantly at work on our website, basically gave us a really nifty feature, and he's been updating the website. So I thought I'd go over a couple of things with you guys. First of all, thanks to Michael, who sent us an email in regards to the inability to find our podcasts. You can definitely find our podcast by adding the RSS feed, but it apparently was not showing up in recent articles or the article library. That's been fixed. We definitely have it's in the article library now, so you can definitely find them. And the second thing is that we do have email addresses attached to puremtgo.com now. So that's another interesting tidbit, and we'll expand on that later.
Yep, exactly. And this brings us to our favorite article of the week. And as usual, I will start it off. And I think my favorite article this week was a really strange week. There's a lot of different articles that I didn't really expect to see. We did generally have the same type of articles week to week, but this week we had some different ones. And I would have to say this one was probably Wiffy's Lunchbox 18 Stronghold for Classic and the Impact of Mox Diamond. And he goes into some really interesting usage of Mox Diamond and the Stronghold cards, and really kind of breaks down some thoughts that maybe people hadn't thought about for the Stronghold cards, and can possibly get some extra use out of the Stronghold cards they opened during the Stronghold release events.
Mm-hmm, for sure. I mean, for me, my favorite article by far, and since I wasn't here last week, I suppose both his articles, is 15 QPs, which stand for qualifier points, in 50 drafts, part 2 and part 1 by Judah Alt. And this article basically covers the fact that this one guy was so dedicated to qualifying for the this weekend's championship series that he played 50 drafts just to prove a point that he can qualify by playing drafts. And I thought it was just ridiculous. Not going to lie, I think it's just absolutely ridiculous.
And yeah, that was by Gialt, and he's actually, or Gialt, or however you pronounce his name.
I have no
My
idea
apologies. And he is actually a frequent Wizards of the Coast message board poster, and I thought that was an awesome look into what he did to get into the championship qualifier.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, I commend him in his efforts. I'm a little bit worried about his bank account. I'll be quite honest with you. I could not possibly lose 35 drafts and be happy about it. But he seems very happy about it. So props to him again. Definitely props to everybody who's involved. I think it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, and the charts that we've gotten from Bubba 0077 are also on our PRMTGO newsworthy items, because those are now currently in my state of the program, and it shows how many people have gotten which amount of points, how many total points there are have been given out, and how many people have been qualified. And we're coming up to about 300 people qualified for the event. I imagine that'll probably go up in this last week before the event as well.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, personally, I haven't had a lot of time. You've been out of city and whatnot, so I couldn't qualify. But I know a lot of people who have, they're 12 points and are like, oh, I just need to win a top 8 in one event this week and they'll be fine. So I wish them the best of luck for all of you guys out there who are trying to qualify at the last minute.
Absolutely. And I didn't qualify just because I'm actually bad at Magic. Hopefully going to get better. I'm looking to put together probably a playtest group for Alara Block Constructed. If you're interested in that, leave a message in the comments or send an email to us, as we mentioned. And I'll work it in. Maybe we can get a PureMTGO team for different formats. That'd be pretty sweet. If you have any thoughts, suggestions, or want to, you know, test online, let me know.
Mm-hmm. Definitely agree.
All right, and that brings. And speaking of contacting us, that is the last part of our podcast, and we will give out our information on how to get a hold of us, both in game and out of game. My name is Eric Freiburg, aka Hamtastic. You can reach me at Hamtastic in the game on the Wizards of the Coast message boards, on the MTG Salvation message boards. You can follow me as Real Hamtastic on Twitter, and I have Hamtastic at puremtgo.com for an email address.
All right, and I'm Sebastian Park, aka Runeliger on Magic Online, the message boards. I'm not a message board person, though. That's Eric over there. You can definitely find me on my blog at arizel.net, and you can reach me at runeliger at puremtgo.com. And again, props to Michael for setting these emails up for us.
Absolutely. And have a great week, everybody.
Yeah, I mean, definitely have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next week.